turn with me to Psalm 119. You have to forgive me this evening. I'm a little nervous. I've got these butterflies in my stomach, and I've asked the Lord to put them in formation. Take me a little while to warm up to you and you to warm up to me. I was hearing a tale of two hillbillies sitting on the porch in eastern Tennessee. That's the only place hillbillies are, is in Tennessee. And I heard tale of a funeral coming through town. Two hillbillies trying to figure out what in the world was going on. The funeral was coming down Main Street there. They sitting up on the porch watching it come. One of them looked the other and he said, "Reckon what that is?" The other looked at him and said, "I know exactly what that is. There's a man walking, leading one of them German police dogs. Behind him, there's 19 men. Behind him, 19 men was a hearse and so forth and so on." He said, "There's a man in that hearse. He was a business owner. Them 19 men, they worked for him. And they're walking along there with his favorite dog. That's exactly what's going on." Another fella looked at him and said, "I don't believe a word you just said." He said, "Well, I'll prove it to you. I'll go down there and ask him." He walked down there and asked him. He said, "Sir, I don't mean to stop all y'all got going on, but," he said, "I just want to know, that man in that hearse, he own a business. These men work for him. That's his dog." He said, "No, sir. This dog belongs to me. That's my mother-in-law in that hearse." He said, "Well, why are you out front?" He said, "My dog killed my mother-in-law." He said, "Sir, you won't sell that dog?" He said, "You're number 20. Get in line." I hope that helps you this morning, this evening. Turn with me to Psalm 119. We're going to look in verse number 129. The Bible says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." If you would, just pray with me briefly. Father, we are indeed thankful for this another time to be in thy house. And Lord, I don't know what each of us have gone through this day, yea, even this past week. I thank you for looking through the portals of time and setting aside this hour for us to study thy word. I pray for the one that's here, Lord, that's cold and indifferent towards the things of God. Lord, that one that may be discouraged in their walk with God. Lord, I pray for the saint that's serving you this evening, God, that you would stir their hearts to go on, do more. Lord, if there happened to be one lost in this service tonight, I pray, God, that even now you begin to speak to that heart. Lord, that you draw them to thyself before it's eternally too late. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity you've provided me to fulfill the call of God in my life to preach thy word. I ask you, Father, that you would use me tonight. Lord, that only be said that which be pleasing unto thee, nothing more, nothing less. I pray, God, that you'd change us all to be more like the Lord Jesus this very hour. Be very careful to thank you for what you'll do here in our lives, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 14 and verse number 1 that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. I'm thankful tonight that there's the Word of God that the fool can hear to know that there is a living God. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 21 and 7 that we should not boast ourselves on tomorrow, for we know not what another day may bring. In James chapter number 4, James teaches us that we shouldn't say that we're going to do this or do that, but we ought to say if the Lord will. In Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that to judgment. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. The Word of God working in the life of an individual bring forth salvation, that of life eternal. And it's our responsibility to get the Word of God to a lost and dying world. In Romans chapter number 10, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I want to say this just real briefly in passing before we get into our text. I utilize these verses because it's the fool that says that there is no God, but it's also the fool, or the foolish, if you will, that does not adhere to the Word of God. This evening, I want us to check ourselves before we get too far, but I want us to know this evening that it's going to be the entrance of God's Word that gives us light. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. Our heart is the toolbox in which the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and uses it moment by moment to steer us and to guide us through our lives. So this individual in Romans chapter number 10, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, we utilize the illustration of a deaf person not being able to be saved by grace because they cannot hear. Now that I've got your attention, we understand it's not the hearing of the Word of God. It is the illumination of the Word of God through the Spirit of God. It's the understanding of God's Word that brings us to a point of understanding we are lost and dead in our sin. And the Spirit of God uses that to convict us, to show us our need for a Savior. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What is that? That's understanding what God's Word says. Now that's salvation. But it's that same Word of God that takes us from salvation to sanctification, to separation, on to service. I want you to see what the psalmist says here in verse number 130. The psalmist says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Now, we don't know who the psalmist is here. We have speculation, and most great theologians would argue it was Ezra. Some would argue other people. I don't know for certain, so I'm not going to say. But the psalmist here is just like you and I. I don't know if you've read this particular psalm, if you've studied it out. There's 176 verses in this psalm. The psalmist uses 171 verses to teach us that the Word of God is what we need to be preeminent in our life. He talks to us about the law, the judgments, the commandments, thy precepts, thy word, thy statutes, the importance of God's Word in the believer's life. Now, I understand where we are tonight. I understand that we're in the Bible Belt, and I understand that we're in the buckle of this thing in this great church. I'm thankful for it. But I'm not ignorant enough to believe that sometimes we get in such a busy mode that we neglect God's Word. With this thought, "O fool, what will you do?" I want us to look at the Word of God tonight. "Thy testimonies," verse 129, "are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them." And there's the motivation. There's value in the Word of God. Let's look on in verse number 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. An amazing thing to me, this word entrance means to discover. It means to disclose, the act of making something known or revealed. So as we study the Word of God says thy entrance, that is allowing the Word of God to speak to our hearts. The entrance of thy words. This word, this plural word, words, means advice, commandment, care, cause, decree, errand, glory, harm, hurt, iniquity, judgment, lying. It also means a message. The psalmist here says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. When we look at the word light, it means to illuminate. It means to take from darkness. It means to show forth. The psalmist says that the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It's important that we understand that every ounce of our faith in Jesus Christ comes from the Word of God. Paul had a problem with us adding anything to the Word of God, anything to our salvation. Look with me in Galatians chapter number 3 quickly. We won't go all over the place, but we will go. In Galatians chapter number 3, we find the Apostle Paul addressing this church in the region of Macedonia, in the city of Galatia. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? And let me say this right there. It's always a who that gets the child of God off track. It's always a who. It's either my family, it's either my friends or it's my foes. A lot of times it's myself. But there's always a who. And I want you to mark that mental note in your heart tonight. He says this. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey truth, before whose eye Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? He goes into verse number 2 and he says, this only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He said, dear Galatians, somebody's messed you up, and I got one question for you. Did you get this salvation by the Word of God, or did you get it by works? You see, if it's salvation of the Spirit of God, then it's going to be because of the Word of God. And if it's of the flesh, it's going to be of the law, and it's not going to get you anywhere. The problem we have tonight is not many tonight are taking and allowing the Word of God entrance into our hearts to allow light to come out. The Galatians had a problem with it. The church at Corinth had a problem with it. The Hebrew believers, turn with me in Hebrews chapter number 5. The Hebrew believers, the Apostle Paul is instructing here in chapter number 5, had a problem understanding that they were now the priesthood, not the high priest, but they're the priesthood of the believer. Look what he said in verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Now, the lack of entrance of God's Word in our lives will make us dull of hearing. That word dull means lazy. It means slothful. It literally means stupid. It means illegitimate from a son's perspective. He said this. He said, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. He's trying to teach them about our great high priest. At the same point, he's trying to warn them about apostasy. Look what he says. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God. And are become such as have need for milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, here it comes, to discern both good and evil. A student of the word will have discernment about spiritual things, and the priority here to the Hebrew believers is discerning good from evil. If we've ever lived in a day where this thing has been mixed up, it's mixed up right now. We live in a day where we call good bad and bad good, and we let folks run off with our rainbow for some reason. Amen. We're killing babies left and right. Now we're harvesting them. Where in the world has that come from? That's come from a lack of the church of the living God. Not the church of God, the church of the living God. Not allowing entrance of God's word. Because here's what happens, dear friend. It doesn't change you, it emboldens you. Paul said this one thing, I'm confident in, not that I live, but that Christ liveth in me. Confidence. Go to the throne, what? Boldly. Where is the boldness in the Christian's life today? It only comes by allowing entrance of God's word into our heart. He warns them of apostasy in Hebrews chapter number 5. And apostasy comes when we refuse the entrance of God's word. Now, apostasy is the stepsister to defection. We don't have defection today. Paul referred to it as a falling away. Hey, you can study that thing out for yourself. I know I'm talking to a lot of theologians and scholars tonight, and you can study that out. You won't hear the falling away very often. But one thing he warns the church of is this apostasy. And he warns them over and over and over. Why is it? Because a defection is an outright turning and leaving. Apostasy is staying and taking the truths of the Word of God and molding them and making them to be what we want them to be. See, the Bible is of one interpretation. Many applications, but only one interpretation. And the Bible says that God giveth liberally, upbraideth not. He's a respecter of no man. Therefore, if I can interpret it, you can interpret it. But we're going to come out with one thing. See, Paul warns the church of apostasy because that's what kills us. That's what sets us on the shelf. That's what hinders the Holy Spirit of God from working in a service like this right here. Well, I believe this way. Well, you believe wrong. Hello, look, if I can't find it in the oracles of God's Word, and I'm talking about the version, the one and only preserved Word of God right here. If I can't find it here, neighbor, then we're wrong. Now look what he says. Hearing is understanding, and understanding gives light. This word light here, it means luminous. It means the break of day. It means glorious. It means set on fire. So the Bible's teaching us here that the entrance, that is the discovery of God's word, the message of God, it gives light. It gives instruction. It gives illumination. It helps us to see things. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about three different points here on the blessings of the Word of God. The blessings. Number one, the blessings of the Word of God. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Number one, it restores order. In the day and time we live in, we have a plumb line and it's called the Bible. When our lives get out of whack, when our families get out of whack, when our house gets out of whack, when our community gets out of whack, we can always come back and plumb that thing up with the Bible. Folks don't like it. It's often not heard of, but it'll always go. You'll shut a lot of people up when you just say, what does the Bible say? See, we don't do that, though. Why? Because we have a lack of the entrance of God's Word. The blessings of God's Word, number one, it restores order. You think of a dark room with things out of place. As soon as you pop that light on, everything makes sense, does it not? That's exactly what God's Word says. Paul said, hey, don't worry about why they act that way. Lost people will act lost. Yeah. Amen. So when we look at God's Word, we know what people are doing. And by the way, that goes the same for Christians.
We live in a day and time, dear friend, where you mind your own business and I'll mind mine. That's not what God says. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 4, he tells us we're to look every man on the things of others. Now, we have to check our spirit. I understand that. But iron sharpens iron, does it not? And if that's going to happen, there's going to be some contact, will there not be? And sometimes if there's contact between iron in the right direction, it might cause a spark. Here's what I'm saying. We've got into this Mickey Mouse mentality of don't judge me. Let me put it to you like this. I'm not judging anybody. And here's why. I don't have to. Why would I want to waste my time judging someone when all I've got to do is look at you through the lens of this book? See, the problem is God's already judged us. Lost, we're already condemned. Amen. Saved by the good grace of God, I've got it right here. Why? 1 John tells me the fruits of a child of God. I don't have to worry about it. But here's what I do have to worry about. I have to worry about my relationship with you because it's easier to catch someone when they slip than it is to pick them up when they fall. But so many times, we are so scared to say, hey, brother, how you doing? Where are you at spiritually? Did you read your Bible every day this week? Then, what did you get out of it? We're scared to death of that. How about that lost member? We need to pray for them. We're scared to ask. Look, you don't have to worry about people in my family being lost. I'll tell you they're lost. Hey, man. I'm not going to let them die and go to hell without telling them about the gospel. And that goes for them at the Methodist Church. It goes for them at the Church of the Nazarene. It goes for them water dogs and Campbellites over at the Church of God. Hey, for the Southern Baptists, it goes the same way. If people are not saved by the good grace of God, they need to be told about salvation. But no. We don't want to do that. Wait a minute. The Bible says the entrance of thy words giveth light. It helps us to see. It helps us to understand the blessings of God's Word. Number one, it restores order. We see things the way God sees things, not the way we want to. Light not only gives order, but it removes obscurity. It restores order. It removes obscurity. When things are hard to understand, it's because we don't have enough light on the situation. You come into a problem, a child of God comes into a problem in their life, the answer's right here. It's pretty commonly known that the Psalm 119 is divided up in the Hebrew alphabet sections. And I want you to understand tonight that anything you need in your life from A to Z can be found right here. The problem is we have to take the time. We're all busy. And here's what I find. I find the Bible reading schedule. I find it checked for the first 3 months of the year and then for the rest of the 9 months, nothing. We find them under the pew. We find them in the car seat. We find them in the trash can. Why is that? Because we're busy. We mean well, don't we? Come on, you're in here, and if you're not going to tell the truth, I'm going to call you a liar right now. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. We start out rambunctious at the beginning of the year, don't we? We're getting hung up right here, preacher. There's something wrong. It's going to be all right, or we'll preach your funeral too. Here we go. We need to stay at it. It's not just a check in the schedule. It's the entrance of God's Word. Watch this. It removes obscurity. How many of y'all remember that back when things used to break down, now when things break down, we throw them away. And we go get another. And that's what Walmart taught us. But I remember growing up as a boy, every time something broke, it was at night. If my daddy's truck wasn't going to start, mark it down, it's going to be at nighttime. If the washer went down, it was at nighttime. If the dryer went down, it was at nighttime. If the cat was having kittens or the puppy was having puppies, it's going to be at nighttime. And my daddy'd always say, boy, hold this light. Shine a light right here. This is what my problem is. This is where I need to be. Shine a light right here. Now, I'm probably the only one in here like this, but I've got the ADD, the ABC, I got FBI, I got every bit of all that stuff, and I'm wrapped up in one. I'm a spiritual schizophrenic is what I am. I turn into whatever I see. And my daddy, I'm just kidding. Y'all like, man, you a mess. No, watch it. My daddy would say, hold the light. And no doubt I'd grab a hold of it, and he'd say, hold it right there. And as soon as he'd let go of my wrist, and he'd snatch me right back. He said, boy, looky here now. I need it right here. I'd say, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And he'd grab it again. He'd say, put both hands on it. Just stand right there. I'd be like, okay. How many of y'all can identify with that? Yeah. That's the same way we are with God's Word. We want it. We know the value of it. But we just don't hold it as dearly because we don't see the need for the light. It removes obscurity. When something is hard to understand, it's because we don't have enough light on it. You've all heard. You've all used these sayings, shine a light on it, shed some light on it. We need just a little brighter light. That's what the Word of God does for the problems in our life. We don't need medicine. And look up here. I don't know where social drinking comes from in the Christian's life, but we don't need a wine bottle either. Amen. I don't know why that always gives hiccups. Social drinking is just as wrong as an alcoholic, as a drunkard. Wow. It removes obscurity. So we see this. It restores order. It removes obscurity. But then look what it does here. It reaffirms obedience. Look with me at verse number 165. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If the Word of God says it, it oughtn't offend anybody to hear it. Amen. Verse number 166. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Here's his motive. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. I don't know, but I think somehow or another in the world, in the day and time we live in, we think we can hide from God. The psalmist said, no, I love your word. I'm going to keep your word. I'm going to read your word, and here's why. Because all my ways are before thee. And if I'm going to please you, then I'm going to have to know and do this word. See, it reaffirms obedience. So we see the blessings of God's word. It reinstates order. It removes obscurity. It reaffirms obedience. Then we see the beneficiary of God's word. Go back with me to 130. The Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So we see here the beneficiary of God's word is the simple, or are the simple. That word simple means this: foolish, seducible. It means silly. It means that we ought to be moldable and shapeable enough to just take everything that God says in His Word with the simplicity of a child taking instruction. One man said this: it's written not to the sophisticated, but it's written to the simple. Many are too clever to believe the Bible or listen to the whole of it. They have listened to what Paul has called philosophy and a vain deceit, but they also rendered it as intellectualism and high-sounding nonsense. And remember, the Bible speaks to the teachable. It has little or nothing to say to those who wish to argue and contradict it. The Word is not given, watch this, as a starting point for debate, but a starting point for obedience. I don't understand it, and I probably won't figure it out, and when I get to heaven, somebody might tell me or show me, but it's the Word of God that brings us to salvation. It's the Word of God that then works in our life to help us put off the old man and put on the new man. But somehow or another, those two things are not enough in the life of a Christian to cling to and be obedient to the Word of God for an entire life. something is not right. He says the simple are the beneficiaries of the word of God. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. We have to stay teachable. This is not an academic book. We got many teachers today who are not filled with the Spirit of God teaching this book. And then other versions of this book. We don't need teachers. We need preachers. We need folks who are going to stand and cry aloud and spare not and say, thus saith the Lord. That's what's going wrong today. And I'm not talking about just those that stand behind the desk. I'm talking also about those who sit in front of it. Amen. It's the responsibility of each and every one of us to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. We'll never do that until we allow the Word of God to inspect, to clean us, and then direct us. God's never used a dirty vessel. And somehow or another, we're not going to sneak in under His rug. Oh, well, that God used me to do this. No, listen, if your life's not producing it, God wasn't in it. It's the simple. See, the blessings of God's Word, the beneficiaries of God's Word. But then we see number three, the begging for God's Word. See, once the entrance, that is that discovery of thy words, that message is illuminated, it gives understanding unto the simple. And then in verse number 131, he says, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Here is a saved individual who's come to Christ and now has seen the benefits and God's word has begun to work in his life. And once that took place, he longed for it. See, we're satisfied now with mediocrity. We're satisfied now with just being better than the next guy. I've never lived in such a time, and I'm not an older person, but some of y'all can go back and tell me, was there ever a time where we did not put degrees on sin? Sin was sin at some point in time. I'm absolutely certain of it. A revival would have never came. But today we put degrees on it. It's because we belong to a certain church or to a certain denomination, we walk around like we're cleaning a hound's tooth. And messed up is his hind leg. Hello? He said this. He said he was begging for his word. See, it's not getting up in the morning, my dear brother, my dear sister, and sitting at the table and marking verses off saying we've read them. It's not only to be able to stand and say, yes, sir, we read the Word of God this morning, but hey, here's what I got from it. Oh, that follow-up question, everybody's ready for, did you read your Bible today? But nobody, hardly ever, is ready for what'd you get out of it. I'm talking about me included. What? Throw a rock at somebody else. Look here. The begging for God's word. Once entrance began, the begging did too. Now let me tell you what begging does for the child of God. Number one, distance is sensed. There are people in this room right now that are so far away from God you don't even know it. Watch what the Bible says. I opened my mouth, verse number 131, and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look what he said in verse 132. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Something has gone on in the psalmist's life between 129 and 132. He's off track again. And he's saying, Lord, do unto me like you used to do. I used to love your word. I loved your word. You used to speak to me. Now, Lord, I need you to do it again. That's what happens when we beg for God's word in our life. We understand when we're far away from God. And I don't know where it comes from. I don't know who started it, but the worst prayer anybody's ever prayed is, Lord, forgive me where I fell short. The Bible teaches us that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and forgive us our sin. Is He not? I probably butchered that thing right there, but here's what he said. Confessing. Well, we can take the trash out all day long, But what's in that bag is little bit by little bit by little bit of specific identifiable pieces of trash. Did you take the trash out? Yes. I didn't take the biscuit wrapper out. I didn't take the bacon wrapper out. I didn't take the eggshell out. I took the trash out. God says no. Look up here. Repentance is what? Godly sorrow worketh repentance. What's godly sorrow? Understanding that, no, Lord, I didn't just fall short. No, I sinned in your sight, and here's how I did it. I recognize that before you. And because of that, Lord, I want to turn from this sin. This bunch of, Lord, forgive me where I fall short. Hey, man, that sounds good. But guess what happens in 30 minutes? We're falling short again. And we're falling short again. I'm not talking sinless perfection here, but at some point in time, we got to realize this falling short. It needs to be cataloged and categorized so that we can get that junk out of our lives. There are people dying and going to hell waiting on us to figure out that we got to start understanding what sin is before God. He said this. He said, I got to begging for God's word, and here's why. Distance is sensed. Once distance is sensed, look here, direction is sought. Verse 133. Order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's not that I ain't going to sin. And for you grammar people, it's not that I'm not going to sin. And that's probably wrong too. But here's what it is. I don't want the desire to sin. Is it going to happen? It could happen. But it's that I might not. How do we might not? How do we get to might not? By hiding God's word. How do we hide it in our heart? By allowing entrance. He said this, distance is sent. He said, direction is sought. Lord, what next? How many people do we miss on a daily basis of giving them a track or telling them about the Lord or inviting them to church because we're stuck on sin and we can't sense the Spirit? I tell people all the time, obey every impulse of the Spirit of God. You don't know what that will lead to. The psalmist said, order my steps where? In thy word. If I can't find it here, I have a hard time believing it's of God. That's why every ministry ought to be out of a local church. That's why every local church ought to have a ministry, and every ministry ought to be based upon the word of God. Because that's where we get the direction. That's where we get the mind of God. He said direction is sought. Then look here, he said deliverance is supplicated. 134, he says, deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. You remember in Galatians 3, Apostle Paul said, who? Yeah. Who? There are who's that you're going to run into beginning tonight, maybe tomorrow, that are going to hinder your walk with God. And until you begin to answer them with the word of God, they're going to hinder your walk. He said this, Lord. He said, deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Lord, keep man away from me. Keep the influence in my life to a minimum so that I can keep your word. Because at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. Pleasing people doesn't matter. Pleasing God always matters. He said this. He said, deliverance is supplicated. Look here at verse 135. Darkness is scattered. He said, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Here is a broken individual that's gone before God, has asked God for forgiveness, has confessed the sin in his life, and he said, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Look at what it says in 130. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. That light comes from the illuminating from the Holy Spirit of God. He says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant so that what? And teach me thy statutes. That's all I want to know. Teach me thy statutes. See, darkness is scattered. So many times we'll sit at the table and not even offer a prayer. And just dig in and begin to read. God's 100 miles from that, friend. We may glean something, but we've hindered the almighty work of God in our own personal lives. See, darkness is scattered because it's necessary. Why? Because verse 136, the drought is subdued. The drought is subdued. One thing I run across as we crisscross this country is a lack of a burden. Apathy, empathy, however, sympathy, whatever you want to call it. The psalmist said this, rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. See, I don't have to worry about them at Congress. I need to worry about my councilman. I worry about my councilman. When he gets to Congress, he's settled. I don't have to worry about my neighborhood because I'm worried about my neighbors. When the Bible tells us that we ought to have a burden, friend, we ought to figure out how to get a burden. And then God's word says that I will give you the power. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, we gain the power of heaven through salvation, but then we also have the power of God with us to be what? A witness. To who? To those that don't know God's word. Those that are lost. But then he also has a burden for those that keep not thy law. If we ever lived in a time and a day where folks were mixed up theologically as today. I got a text just not too long ago this afternoon. It said, now listen, I don't have to go to church. I'm going to heaven. I said, well, you're right about that. Church will not take you to heaven. Salvation, faith in Jesus Christ takes you to heaven. But you'll starve to death without the church. I know this. I know there's a local New Testament church. It's called Mount Lebanon. I know down the hill there's the Tabernacle Baptist Church, and that's our church. That's our sending church. We're responsible to that local church. There's a man in that church. He's called the pastor. He's a man sent from God that sets a star. He's that star that sits on the candlestick to direct the light in that neighborhood. I know he's got authority of God. He's God's man. It's pastoral authority. He's commanded of God to feed God's sheep. He's commanded of God to feed me. And if you've seen me very long, you know I'm eating. And if I'm going to eat spiritually, I'm going to be in God's house where God has used his man to set the table. Oh yeah, you don't have to go to church to be saved. But I tell you what, if you're not in church, there's a pretty good chance you're not saved. And we need to be concerned about that, especially in the day and time we live in. He said this, rivers of water, they run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Dear friend, here's where we are in the day and time we live in right now. We live a very rapid life, very fast-paced life. We need to slow down. If nothing else, we need to slow down and allow God's word entrance. Man, I'm going to tell you, I've never seen so many people that can quote Scripture but live such wicked lives. That's not saved people. The Bible still says it's a narrow way. The gate is still straight. It's a narrow way. Few there are that'll find it. Where are we at tonight? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't want to labor this thing tonight. I just wanted to give you what God gave me. Maybe you're here tonight. You'd say, Brother Dewey, I don't know for sure. Heaven's my home if I was to die. I just don't know for sure. But you are concerned about that thing. And see, every head's bowed and every eye's closed and no one's looking around. Just me. Maybe you're here tonight, you say, Brother Dewey, I don't know for sure. Heaven be my home. I tacked on to Nanny and Pawpaw's religion pretty good. I've been faithful in church, but as far as this thing with a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't know for sure heaven to be my home. I am concerned about that. Would you pray for me? Is that you tonight? Just slip your hand up. I don't know for sure heaven to be my home. Is someone like that tonight? Well, that's a blessing. You're here tonight. You'd say, Brother Dewey, there are some things in my life that need to be corrected by the Word of God. I need to allow entrance of God's Word in my life. Is that you tonight? You just slip your hand up. I see that. I see those. Sure. Sure. Pretty much, if we're breathing, we need help. I appreciate your good attention. Maybe you're here tonight. You'd say, Brother Dewey, I'm a little discouraged in my walk with God. Would you pray for me? I'm a little discouraged. You slip your hand up. Right, I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. The entrance of God's Word will give light. We don't have to live in darkness. We don't have to live discouraged. We don't have to live defeated. God's Word is all we need. And maybe you're here tonight. We're going to ask a pianist to come, and I don't know if this is tradition or not, but we're going to do it. A pianist is going to come. She's going to play something. But here's what I want us to do tonight. I don't know when we'll see each other again, but I want to leave on a good note. If you're here tonight and God's spoken to your heart, we won't even categorize it, but why don't you come and place it on this altar? Some of you living in darkness, and you're discouraged, you need some help. Why don't you come and pray? Some with an uplifted hand have said, look, I got some things in my life. They need to be fixed. Would you pray for me? And so why don't you come? You earnestly, with a forward heart towards God, say, man, I need help. Why don't you come get help? We're all in this boat together, friend. Not near one of us better than the other. We all need the entrance of God's Word. Go ahead, sis. You go ahead and play. You need help tonight. Won't you come get it? There's some sitting in their pew. There's some moving, some coming. Why don't you come? Others didn't get right until Job got right. Others didn't get right until Jonah got right. They saw Job live for God. He didn't cuss God. He lived for God. That's what this world's waiting on. You come on. Let's just go ahead and do this thing. We need the power of God, friend, to carry the load we're carrying today. Hey, some in here, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Hey, some in here tonight ain't got a clue what I just said. Can I help you with that, friend? You need God. You need the help of God. I'm talking about not a clue. Everybody's good. Everybody's moral. Everybody's hardworking. Problem with that is not everybody's on their way to heaven. Spiritual eyes come from the entrance of thy word. Oh God, help us. Help us, I pray. Father, you see our hearts. You see your people here tonight. There's families that are hurting. You're helping them, and I thank you for it. There's some that are discouraged, Lord, in their walk with you. Lord, you've shown them that, and you're helping them with that. We thank you for it. There's some that have clutter and junk in their lives, and God, you've spoken to their hearts, and you're helping them with that, and I thank you for that. And I pray, God, tonight that as we look at the Word of God afresh and anew in the morning, Lord, that we would understand by the Spirit's leading the sin in our life. Help us to get rid of it. Lord, the lack of attention that we have in focusing on Thy Word when we read it, Lord, help us to pay attention to it. then, Lord, help us to get our joy back as you speak to our hearts, as you warm our hearts, as we allow entrance of thy word. Lord, as we allow it to bring light into our lives, help us to stay simple. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you for all that you've done here tonight, as well as in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Appreciate you. Amen.